Welcome to Health News, your complete source for all the latest news you need to know to take charge of your life. Health News is all about you, your life, and your health. Because the more you know, the healthier you can be. Now sit back and get ready for the Health News Podcast. Today's Health News is brought to your listeners by you as part of your podcast. And now the news.
Welcome to your weekly health news podcast. I'm your host, Denise Chapman. According to the British Medical Journal, it seems that in just about every country with a pandemic preparedness alert for the swine flu, healthcare workers, the priority group for mass vaccination, seem to not want any part of the vaccination. In a focus group survey, many participants were concerned about the risk of infection versus the risks involved in using newly developed vaccines. Participants were hesitant to use the novel vaccines due to concern that unsafe pharmaceuticals may be rushed to market during the health crisis. Instead, many individuals believe they could protect themselves through their own behavior, including frequent hand washing, staying away from crowded places and sick people, and eating well to maintain their immune systems. We would throw in eating based on your metabolic type and regular chiropractic adjustments. If you ever heard the recommendation to take a baby aspirin every day, this next story is sure to be of great interest. Results of a new study from Spain showed that the use of aspirin as a primary prevention of cardiovascular events in healthy individuals, those with no cardiovascular symptoms, is currently not warranted. In fact, according to the author of the study, Dr. Jerry Fowkes, aspirin has absolutely no effect on reducing events compared with placebo. He went on to say, however, aspirin did increase the risk of major hemorrhage. Interestingly, the results of this trial are in conflict with findings from a study published earlier this year. In that study, the results showed a 12% relative risk reduction in serious cardiovascular events. In the article, the authors of each study debate why their research has more value than the other person's. We think what would have been of greater value is to compare either of these studies to the use of lifestyle changes, which have a much better track record of reducing cardiovascular risk. And when I come back, we'll take a look at how to get rid of that tennis elbow once and for all, and why swearing gets rid of pain.
Did you know with the Health News Podcast, we can customize your podcast to bring your clients all the health news they need to take charge of their lives? Just take our weekly health news feeds and edit them right into your own show. That's it. Call Health News Podcast today at 413-274-0200 and let us show you how you can become a health news resource for all your podcasts. Now back to the news.
One of the toughest injuries to get rid of is the so-called tennis elbow. Of course, truth is that you don't need to play tennis to get it. Once you have it, this nagging pain affects everything you do, from lifting a coffee cup to turning a doorknob. In this study, the researchers compared treatment protocols of stretching, ultrasound, cross-friction massage, heat, and ice to what is called eccentric contraction exercises. Eccentric contraction exercise is a simple technique where instead of flexing a muscle to strengthen it, like doing a dumbbell curl by bending your elbow, you do the opposite. You start with the elbow bent and slowly straighten your arm, fighting the resistance of the weight as you do so. For tennis elbow, it is simply a matter of holding a flexible rod with both hands and allowing the good arm to do the exercise while the bad arm fights the resistance. The amazing thing is that the standard therapies usually bring only a 12% improvement, but this new simple exercise brings about a 76% improvement. And for our last story, and one of our favorites, we look at why swearing could be good for you. A recent study in the journal Neural Report compared how long someone can tolerate pain if they were allowed to repeat an expletive of their choice, compared to chanting a neutral word. According to Richard Stevens, who led the study, cursing is such a common response to pain that there has to be some underlying reason why we do it. As you may expect, the group of students that were allowed to swear repetitively were able to tolerate pain longer than their chanting counterparts. It appears that swearing activates a part of the right brain more tied to the emotional centers. That, in turn, triggers the fight or flight reaction, and the body suppresses the pain. Have a pain? Start swearing. And lastly, as we do each week, we want to leave you with one more amazing fact about the miracle that is you. Tears and mucus contain an enzyme called lysozyme that breaks down the cell wall of many bacteria. This is to your advantage, as the mucus that lines your nose and throat, as well as the tears that wet your eyes, are helping to prevent bacteria from infecting those areas and making you sick. And that's the Health News Podcast for today. I'm your host, Denise Chapman, and I look forward to joining you next week when I'll be bringing you all the health news you need to take charge of your life.
Today's health news was brought to your listeners by you as part of your podcast. The information on this podcast is provided for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional advice of any kind. Health News assumes no responsibility for the use or misuse of this material. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information only. Health News encourages you to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional.